You're listening to Security 360. I'm Rob Westervelt. This is episode 2 for April 2007, Endpoint Security and Full Disk Encryption.
Welcome to the program. In the last year or so, businesses have been turning toward technologies that can slow and even stop the flow of corporate data beyond the company firewalls. But data leakage is not easy at the endpoint. Many employees take their work home with them. What happens when a laptop is lost or stolen? Well, one answer is endpoint encryption.
In this edition, we'll talk with Roger Herbst. He's a senior IT technical specialist with the Timken Company. He describes how he led the company's deployment of encryption across thousands of employee laptops. And we'll also bring you a conversation with industry analyst Charles King about Seagate's new encrypted hard drive coming to market. And Burton Group senior analyst Trent Henry. He explains the most effective approach to endpoint security. And he'll talk about the pros and cons of full disk encryption. Well, without further ado, let's start out with Roger Herbst. Now, Roger, I met up with in Orlando, Florida at the InfoSec World Conference, an expo, and he starts out talking about why endpoint security, more in particular, encryption, was important to his company.
I'm with the Timken Company. We manufacture bearings and specialty steels operations worldwide.
Why endpoint encryption? Is that an area that you've been associated with?
Well, I have been associated with it for a long time. I was one of the earliest users of PGP for file encryption. And in fact, I worked in conjunction with Phil Dunkenberger when they purchased PGP back away from Network Associates and basically doing analysis of the product. The endpoint security encryption side is basically, especially like hard drive encryption, if your laptop leaves your company, you know, our policy says it has to be encrypted, and we do full hard drive encryption because we don't want our intellectual property walking away along with a laptop that might be lost or stolen. Same would be true for PDA or any other device as well, but of course, you know, most of the focus is on the laptop side. So that's the main reason we want to do the endpoint encryption from a hard drive perspective. The way we said is if a laptop leaves our facilities, period, it has to have the hard drive encrypted. That's it. I mean, don't worry about who owns it. Don't worry about who controls it. If the laptop walks out the door ever, it has to have its hard drive encrypted. Now, we do have a few laptops that are in-house that never leave the premises, mostly in our manufacturing operations. We don't require those hard drives to be encrypted because, again, they're within our facility. But if it leaves the facility ever, it has to have that hard drive encrypted. And that made it easy. That way we don't have to guess as to, well, are this certain level of people, should we do this? This might have secure data on it, it might not. Mm-hmm. We don't need to worry about that. We just say we're doing it universally. Everybody has to do it, all laptops worldwide. And that made it a little easier to deploy. As far as the criteria is concerned, one of the major issues that I looked at was obviously robust encryption that can't be easily hacked. That's certainly, that goes without saying, but some of the products out there maybe aren't as strong in that area as others. Most of the really well-known products are first rate, so you don't have to worry about the encryption. It's secure.
And there's a specific standard, right, that you need to, if you're looking at it?
Well, you need to have a decent key length, and you need to have a decent algorithm.
Okay.
And as long as you have those two, you're okay. And you can use different ones. AES as an algorithm is the most commonly used today, but there's still a lot of other good ones out there.
AES is the government standard?
AES is the government standard in the United States, but it actually is the Rheindahl algorithm that was developed in the Netherlands. And AES was a program here a number of years ago where the U.S. government basically...
Give us some best practices. Where did you start?
Your algorithms, and we'll pick the best one. And they were focusing not only on quality of the security, but they were also focusing on using it in devices large and small. So they wanted to have something that wasn't so computationally intense that you couldn't use it on portable devices. because if it's too computationally intense, you run out your battery just trying to encrypt and decrypt the data. Huh. So AES was kind of the selection, and it along with Two Fish, which was one of Bruce Schneier's developments, and one other, I think, were the three finalists, and they ended up choosing Rheindahl, which then became AES here in the United States.
How does a company choose between, I mean, there's a ton of small endpoint encryption vendors. How does a company choose between them?
Well, probably the best way to do that is you look, first of all, you have to decide what your criteria is, and because every company is going to have a different set of criteria, and sometimes you almost have to look at the vendors to develop your criteria to kind of see what's out there or see what people are saying if you don't already know what the best practices are. Now, if you have best practices, then certainly that's where you should start and start talking to the different vendors. You, as a company, have to decide what's important to you, like this out-of-band scenario that I was describing a few moments ago. But we looked at a lot of different players for hard drive encryption. There were a lot of people that were doing file and folder encryption. I wasn't interested in that. I wanted full hard drive encryption. So that limited my number of vendors to look at. Just within the last couple years, PointSec and PGP have come on strong with full hard drive products. But when I started looking 3 years ago, they weren't. They were still focusing on file and folder capabilities. At that time, Udemeco Safeguard Easy is a product that had hard drive encryption along with others, but that was the one that had the most features that we were looking at, and they had the extra advantage that starting with their 4.1 release, they had actually co-developed that with IBM such that the IBM backup and recovery program worked in conjunction with Safeguard Easy, so they both knew about each other and worked around each other. Now, the rescue and recovery from IBM was our primary backup mechanism that we wanted to move to, so I didn't want that to compete with my hard drive encryption solution. They worked together. That was another criteria that I looked at. So we ended up putting in Safeguard Easy as our solution, even though, you know, in terms of the players out there today, certainly PointSec, now owned by Checkpoint, PointSec and PGP, those are probably the three best known, but there's many other first-rate companies out there that do the hard drive encryption.
If encryption seems to be the answer to some of these breach notification laws, if encryption is the way to go, then why does it seem like adoption is sort of slow in that area?
I can only guess. I would say that my experience tells me that most people don't want to take the time or the money to do the encryption. They feel that I won't get hacked, or I'm not going to lose the data, or sometimes it's just the ostrich approach that they just stick their heads in the sand and they figure that they're safe. That's only a guess. You know, I can only speak for our company, and we didn't do the full hard drive encryption until, you know, the last couple years. Mm-hmm. We said, you know, we've lost a few PCs. In all likelihood, they were stolen for the asset. Somebody wanted to sell the asset. They really were trying to steal the data.
Right.
But you don't know that.
Probably ended up on eBay.
Yeah, well, very possibly. And so those are the kinds of things that, you know, but you can't assume that. And I basically just took it upon myself to drive this within our organization to say, we need to encrypt the hard drives. We don't just do file and folder encryption. We need to encrypt the whole hard drive. And we need to do it universally. So we established the policy, we purchased the software, and we applied it worldwide.
Next, my conversation with industry analyst Charles King of Pundit IT Research about Seagate's new encrypted hard drive. All right, so let's get right into it then. So Seagate is coming out with a hard drive, encrypted hard drive, up to 160 gigabytes. For notebooks. Why do you think this could trigger the beginning of a fundamental shift in the way organizations protect critical data?
Well, for a couple of reasons, I think. One, the software-based encryption technologies, which is what the vast majority of companies have been using up until this point, are pretty effective, but in some cases they have fairly significant effects on the performance of the notebook. The other thing is that the sheer complexity of the software-based solutions can make them fairly difficult for end users to work with. The interesting thing about the Seagate technology is that since it's essentially hardware-based, after the initial encryption key has been managed by a network administrator, systems administrator. Basically, the user just goes to town and works with the with his or her laptop as if it was a standard laptop.
Mm-hmm. Do you really think, though, that this could put endpoint encryption vendors out of business?
Not in the short term. You know, I think the market for the endpoint folks is pretty well established, and the since this is a new technology, I have not seen the actual anything from Seagate about what the cost of this is going to be, but I'd expect that it's going to, you know, users are going to initially pay a premium for this.
Right.
So, you know, it's a new technology. It looks very seamless and very easy to manage. You know, it's going to take some time for something like for any new product. It's going to take some time for it to get well ensconced in the market.
Next, Burton Group senior analyst Trent Henry talks to me about the most effective approaches to endpoint security and endpoint encryption. Now, do most businesses have an endpoint security plan in place today, or is this really, you know, a movement that has just started?
I certainly wouldn't say most. I think many have now realized that they need to get moving on this front, and so they're considering technology and architecture options. I know that we're talking quite a bit about endpoint encryption today, but that is just one of several both techniques and technologies that enterprises are thinking about, and we might want to spend some time talking about those.
Why should encryption play into an endpoint security strategy?
Well, one of the advantages of encryption is it does a great job of deleting information if you don't have the key.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's a pretty quick and easy way to protect information confidentiality. The concern, of course, is the flip side. There's usually a strong trade-off between what encryption provides for confidentiality and what's required for business effective data to be available. So in some ways, there's big trade-offs between those two security objectives.
So you wouldn't necessarily begin an endpoint security plan with encryption then?
Well, so I think some security architects in an organization simply know that because of their business, there's no stepping around the fact that sensitive information is going to be on those endpoints. And so it wouldn't be a fruitful exercise to go through a lot of process to see whether we can eliminate the sensitive information. But for many organizations, sort of this notion of information assessment or information risk analysis is a really great first step to make sure, now, are we just being sloppy about allowing all kinds of arbitrary customer data on those endpoints, or is it really necessary from a business perspective? The answer for many is going to be, we still have a population of users that is managing and dealing with this information, so encryption is something that we're going to turn to.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some additional things, in addition to key management, we need to be mindful of.
So what's the difference between whole disk encryption and file and folder encryption?
Yeah, so, you know, we talked about key management as a pretty essential part of the puzzle. The other thing that many enterprises need to think about is whether to use whole disk encryption or file and folder encryption technologies to protect those endpoints. So the advantage with whole disk encryption is it sort of takes the encryption decision entirely out of the hands of the end user. That is, when they log in, the full volume is decrypted, and when they're not physically present there with the machine, the whole volume is encrypted, and they really don't have a choice one way or the other. And so this pretty much guarantees us protection against loss or theft of that laptop or portable device. The downside, of course, is that for some users, this can cause a bit of a performance penalty. The alternative file and folder encryption has that advantage of not necessarily encrypting everything all the time,
mm-hmm.
and so maybe just focusing on the sensitive things. But traditionally, that's left some decision-making in the hands of the user. That is, they can choose whether or not this particular word processing document should be saved in that secure vault. And if they make the wrong choice, you can't be sure that sensitive information still might escape. So I think what we've been seeing recently is that organizations are leaning in favor of whole disk encryption to ensure that they can always use that get out of jail card and say, well, you know, the entire drive was encrypted, so even though it's been lost or stolen, there's no way that confidential information escapes.
Which is cheaper? Is there a certain one that's less cost to deploy?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know of significant price differentiation. And many of the vendors are offering both options. And so you can sort of do a mix and match based on your users. And I think enterprise pricing is something that many organizations are looking at.
So it's really a matter of how much risk you're willing to tolerate then?
Right. Your trust in the users and the users' ability to make decisions, your risk tolerance. But the one thing I was going to add is that even the file and folder encryption vendors have now been adding something that we call policy-based encryption. So what that has some of this content awareness that I'm describing, or at least it can allow an administrator to say, if this information is being saved to, for example, a USB thumb drive or a detachable hard drive or a writable CD-ROM disk that is going to leave the system, always encrypt in that case, because those things can imminently get stolen or lost or sent outside the enterprise, and then maybe make other decisions about folders that are on the local hard drive. So some of these policies give you more centralized control and start to give you some of the assurances of whole disk encryption without necessarily the entire performance impact. Still, at the end of the day, I think people are leaning in favor of this more risk-averse approach, which is whole disk encryption.
Mm-hmm. Are there any standards or best practices out there at this point?
So with regard to best practices, I think we do need to take one step back and realize that encryption is a very popular solution, but it's just one of many, as we mentioned before. And I think, of course, the interest is growing even greater with the United States federal government basically underway with a massive endpoint encryption project. But organizations are approaching this, I would say, in three different lines. Number one is make sure you understand whether this sensitive data really needs to be on those endpoints in the first place, right? So if we can avoid encryption because there's not a good business need for that data to be on all these laptops wandering home, then the first order of business is to get the information off. So in some cases, that's a function of policies and better awareness on the part of the users. In some cases, there's the use of technology to improve the filtering between our major server systems and what is allowed to get downloaded to portable systems. And there's also increased interest in different types of virtualization technologies, like terminal services or other remote access services, so that rather than allowing users to download and ad hoc information, we're really just giving them a window into our server environment, and then they can run the applications remotely. Now, the reality is users are working with sensitive information on their laptops all the time, so there is a population of users that necessarily needs additional protection. Now, from that perspective, we could consider encryption, but there's also a new class of solutions sort of in the content control arena. So these are endpoint agents that are much more content aware, so they can identify when they see a Social Security number or a credit card number or maybe even some derivative memo that has mergers and acquisitions information that we've identified as sensitive. And then that local agent can make some decisions about whether or not the memo should be allowed to come into the system, or make decisions about whether or not we can, you know, save it locally or forward it on to others, mm-hmm. or possibly even hand this information off to an encryption engine so it's encrypted. And so that's sort of this third option is encryption.
When you start talking about agents, I think of NAC or NAP.
Yes.
Is that not necessarily the case?
Well, those types of agents aren't really integrated yet, although, you know, admission control is definitely part of the overall puzzle for information protection on these endpoints. We certainly want to prevent malware wherever we can, and some of the admission control technologies are integrating with anti-spyware, anti-malware solutions to help ensure that systems have the appropriate policies in place, the appropriate updated signatures, intrusion prevention, and so on. And you know, if we can avoid keystroke logging, if we can avoid Trojan horses that are sniffing our network traffic, that certainly helps us to prevent some of this information leakage. But generally today, these content-aware agents are a separate solution from admission control technologies.
Who are some of the leaders in that area?
Well, there's kind of a blend. We've got some that have been point solutions like SafeEnd or Vertisys, for example, mm-hmm. and we also have some of the network content filtering crew like Verisept or Vontu, Reconyx, Tablis, or Fidelis that have traditionally watched our network perimeters, but several of those vendors now provide an endpoint agent that will integrate as well. So it helps to monitor how content is flowing at the local host in addition to across the enterprise network.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to readdress something that Roger Herbst said at the beginning of the program. You have to decide what your criteria is before moving forward with an encryption project. Look at the vendors and see what's out there. You'll have to make a decision between file and folder encryption and full hard drive encryption. Your company has to weigh risk factors and decide what's important to you and how much money you're really going to throw at this problem.
Well, that ends this edition of Security 360. You can check out our other podcasts at our podcast archive at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And you can always get the latest security news and information at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, until next time, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.